Hello, I'm Maurice Powell. Welcome to A Little Like Music, Manx Radio's regular Thursday evening classical music hour. And I'm going to begin this evening's programme with an overture, The Spirit of London by Gordon Langford, a composer who has appeared in this series of programmes before, but not that often. He was a famous composer and arranger in the field of light music, a first-rate trombonist, and he's very well known in the brass band world. I can remember when I had an association many years ago with the Skipton Band in North Yorkshire. We played a number of Gordon Langford's arrangements and they were excellent. The bands absolutely loved them. So here's an original composition then by Gordon Langford, Spirit of London.
Thank you.
So, to begin our programme this evening, a very fine piece by Gordon Langford, one of the sort of the generation of British light music composers who followed in the wake of Haydn Wood and Eric Coates. His music reminds me a little bit of Robert Farnon, but very much his own voice. I love the orchestration, very sumptuous, lush melodies, and, as I'm sure you'll have heard, quite a bit of attention given to the brass. Very, very well written. That was Gordon Langford's overture, Spirit of London. Now, we need to move back a century or so to the music of Edward German. Now, in 1895, he wrote some incidental music for a production of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, which was produced at the Lyceum Theatre, 1895. Now, Edward German was wary of taking on this particular work because of he knew very well that Gounod, Tchaikovsky and Berlioz had already written music based around Shakespeare's famous love story. Tragedy, possibly. So he approached it with a slightly lighter touch than the other three great masters. So here are three sections, then, from the incidental music that German wrote for Romeo and Juliet. We'll start with a pavane, a nocturne, and we'll finish with the pastoral. So three movements, then, from the incidental music Edward German wrote in 1895 for a production of Romeo and Juliet. Thank you. Three lovely pieces by Edward German, showing that there's a good deal more to Edward German than just Merry England and one or two other popular pieces. He actually wrote the incidental music for a number of Shakespeare's plays in the 1890s, and they're very well worth exploring. He wasn't actually born Edward German. He was born German, or probably Garman, Edward Jones in Whitchurch in Shropshire, and later studied at the Royal Academy of Music as an organist and violinist. He's a fascinating life. Many people saw him as a kind of successor to Sullivan, but actually he's a rather different composer to Sullivan. He wasn't quite so wedded to the idea of operetta, for one thing. I mean, he wrote a symphony and a number of interesting orchestral works. We're going to have to look a bit more closely at the life and work of Edward German in future programmes, and it'll be very well worthwhile. So, Charles Williams. Now, at the end of last week's programme, the play-out was Charles Williams' Exhilaration, but I have a feeling that you probably only heard about 10 seconds of it before the programme moved on. So here is the whole piece. It's very short, but like all of Charles Williams' music, it's beautifully scored and very memorable. He, of course, wrote the famous Devil's Gallop that was the Dick Barton theme music. So, Charles Williams' Exhilaration. Short, busy piece there by Charles Williams, Exhilaration, a perfect piece of British light music. It doesn't outstay its welcome. It's very short. It's wittily orchestrated. It has memorable tune, and, you know, it just makes you feel good. Perfect. Now, there is this coming Saturday, the 17th of May, in the Royal Hall at the Villa Marina at 7:30 in the evening, a magnificent concert, which I hope many of you will be there, will find time to attend. This is an extraordinary concert by any stretch of the imagination. The Isle of Man Symphony Orchestra is combining with the Slaithwaite Philharmonic Orchestra to present a programme, the main work of which is Mahler's First Symphony, the so-called Titan. I don't think a Mahler symphony has ever been performed here, and the First Symphony is certainly the most approachable, the most relatable to, shall we say, to the music of Strauss or Dvorak or Tchaikovsky than the later Mahler symphonies. It's a magnificent work, and if you don't know it, I urge you to come and hear it. It's a one-off. I don't imagine there'd be many Mahler symphonies ever performed here on the Isle of Man. As I say, it's taken two orchestras to come together for this one. The programme also includes a very entertaining work, Britain's Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra, which is basically a concerto for orchestra. Every section of the orchestra, every individual instrument is put through its paces. There's also music by Chabrier, his colourful Espana, Mussorgsky, the rather spooky Night on Bear Mountain, and to start with, A March, Torch of Freedom by Haydn Wood. And here is the link between the Isle of Man Symphony Orchestra and Slaithwaite Philharmonic Orchestra. Haydn Wood was born in Slaithwaite, a lovely little town situated on the Huddersfield Narrow Canal, you'll be happy to know, about 5 miles south of Huddersfield. Was a busy industrial town with mills and all the rest of it in Haydn Wood's day. He was born there in 1882. But his family moved away from Slaithwaite to the Isle of Man when Haydn Wood was three. He stayed here until his mid-teens when he won a scholarship and went to the Royal College of Music. The rest is history. He became a very famous composer, a virtuoso violinist, and he wrote the iconic First World War song Roses of Picardy and much else besides, particularly a number of orchestral works based on Manx traditional melodies. So his connection with the Isle of Man is very strong. Many people, in fact, consider him to be the Manx national composer, a great honour indeed. So the programme is going to open with the Torch of Freedom, and then in the first half, Chabrier and Mussorgsky, conducted by Graham Kirkland. And the second half, the Mahler Symphony, will be conducted by the Slaithwaite Orchestra's resident conductor, Benjamin Ellin. The narrator for the Britain Young Person's Guide, who has written a completely new narration, more in tune with our times, is the orchestra's patron, our orchestra's patron, Charles Gard. So, here are the details. Saturday, 17th of May, this coming Saturday, 7:30 p.m, Villa Marina in the Royal Hall, of course. Tickets are available at the villagaiety.com, the box office, or you can telephone 600 555. It's going to be an absolutely excellent concert. I'm playing a fairly modest part myself. I'm going to be buried away in the horn section. Mahler requires 7 horns for this particular work, so I've been dragged out of retirement to come and blow on my hooter, which I'm really looking forward to. There's nothing like being in the middle of a huge symphony. So, I hope to see as many of you there as possible, and it'll be a wonderful, wonderful evening. Now, let's move on. In my ongoing search for finding music by the most obscure composers, I think I may have found the most obscure of the obscure. But there is a royal connection. The composer is Prince Louis Ferdinand of Hohenzollern. He was the nephew of Princess Anna Amalia of Prussia, who herself was a great patron of music during Beethoven's time and a good composer. Prince Louis Ferdinand was a very fine pianist, admired by Beethoven no less, and wrote many compositions, nearly all of them featuring the piano. He was a very popular chap. There's some wonderful anecdotes in the autobiography of Louis Spohr, another one of Beethoven's great contemporaries. Spohr and another composer called Dussek, or Ducek, to pronounce his name properly, were befriended by Louis Ferdinand and invited to go on military manoeuvres with him and to provide sort of music in the evenings, which they did. They found it a bizarre experience lasting several days when they were galloping around battlefields on horseback, and yet in the evenings were expected then to perform wonderful music. Can't really imagine it, really. Very, very strange situation. But Prince Louis Ferdinand was loved by all, and he was a very fine pianist. Sadly, he was killed during the Napoleonic War on the 10th of October, 1806, at the Battle of Saarfeld, and he was much mourned by everybody. So, enough of all that. What did his music actually sound like? Well, here is the romance from his octet, Opus 12, written for a very unusual combination of instruments, piano, clarinet, two horns, two violas, two cellos. fascinating piece of music. Beautifully written, the piano part is extremely florid. Wonderful solos for the horn, the clarinet, and the dark velvety tones of violas and cellos underpinning everything. What can we say? Well, obviously, a very, very talented composer, a very good musician, whatever else he may or may not have been. And it's a pity that we don't hear something like these extraordinary works. I mean, these composers worked in Beethoven's shadow, of course, although, of course, they may not have realised that at the time. Prince Louis Ferdinand of Hohenzollern was not a pupil of Beethoven. He met Beethoven on a couple of occasions, but moved in a very musical sort of a milieu, if I can put it that way. Well, there's two or three different works of his that have been recorded. Nearly all of them feature the piano, and they're all worth investigating. So, we're getting near the end of the programme, but not quite. We need something a little lighter, something more in the British light music field. And here is another discovery of mine, a light music discovery, the music of Carey Blyton, born in 1932, died in 2002. He was the nephew of the children's author Enid Blyton, born in Beckenham in Kent. He discovered a talent for music whilst recovering from polio. He studied at the Trinity College of Music and later taught film music composition at the Guildhall School of Music and Drama. He wrote music for television, and he's written a charming suite called The Sunk Port, or The Suite Sunk Port. Five movements, each one describing evoking a different port. He doesn't actually name them. I'm going to play the central three movements, which are all very short but quite charming. The first one is Captain Bowspirit's Blues. The second is The Beach at Midwinter, and the third is The Sea Dog's Song. Three movements end from Carey Blyton's Suite Sunk Port. Three pieces there by the composer Carey Blyton from his suite Sunk Port. We heard Captain Bow Spirits Blues, nice little bluesy touch there. The Beach in Midwinter, quite an austere piece that. And then the Sea Dog Song, a rollicking kind of sailor's song. Interesting composer, Carey Blyton, and I do have some more pieces by him which I can play in a later programme. Now, we're nearly at the end of the programme, but I have a request. I was just out and about in Ramsey, as I am most days, and I bumped into one of my regular listeners, and they said, oh, we played a wonderful piece last week about Princess Diana. Any chance you could possibly play it again? Well, I certainly can. I'd love to play it again. It's not something that happens very often where I repeat a piece the week after, but this is a very short piece. It was by the composer John Fox. It's called A Portrait of Diana, and it was written in 1997 in the aftermath of her tragic death in Paris. So, a rather languid and lovely waltz, Portrait of Diana. Please join me again next Thursday. We'll use this as our play-out music as well. I've absolutely no idea at this stage what will be in the programme. Something unusual, something familiar. I'm beginning to ramble, aren't I, really? It'll be a surprise for all of us. So, in the meantime, Portrait of Diana. Goodbye.